Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the show intro. There it is.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon down to South Florida. When one PhD leaves, we bring another one in. His name is Dr. David Tuyo. Hey, Dr. David, how are you?
Good afternoon. Doing fantastic.
So good to have you back. We talked about it in the pre-show. Our good buddy, Dr. Troy Hall, is out in Kenya teaching those Kenyans how to grow pineapples, which is interesting. So that's good. That's good for pineapple lovers and Kenyans everywhere. The name of the show, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand, Rio Terra, Power Financial Credit Union, Eloquent Online, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you in part by XDI.com, xraydeltaindia.com, Express Data Incorporated. It's tax season. You've been sending out your tax statements to your members all across the country. You might be paying too much. You might be entitled to a refund of sorts, which you can get by calling our friends at XDI. They got lots of great strategies for not just making your statement services more efficient, but beautiful, elegant, and accurate. Hey, Dr. David, after the interview today, we're going to talk to you. You had a busy day yesterday, or was that this morning that you were at the roundtable?
It was this morning, in fact.
Yeah, and it was on cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity, yeah. We had, thought leaders, as they called them. I'm not sure why I was invited, but in the round table, there was about 10 different participants from the Miami Airport, which, of course, is an amazing economic engine for our area. In fact, it's number one for South Florida as far as driving revenue and its economic impact. And so hearing all the different things from, you know, whether it was CPA firms or enterprise risk management firms or there were a large chain of doctor's offices called Ortho Now was there. And then of course, we were there representing credit unions. There was a banker there as well representing a $5 billion bank. And so it was really, really quite amazing, the conversation, different perspectives and our unique challenges that we have. There's also a couple large law firms there as well. If you think about client data and how they protect it, and they're being really attacked from a ransomware perspective as well. So I'm not going to go too far into that, but again, it was a great time spent down there with the South Florida Business Journal.
Well, I've no doubt that any airport is a big money generator. Having been a professional speaker for 10 years and walking past many of the stores and certainly the bars in airports all over the country, only there can you compel the wayward business traveler to spend $7 on a dollar glass of beer. But hey, that is the power of economic supply and demand. The name of the show today, Wild About Rio Terra. You know, we use that musical metaphor, and our guest today, Dr. David, is not just the conductor of various parts of this amazing live performance that goes on each and every day at Rio Terra, but she's also responsible for the people in the audience and their families, five generations she interacts with each and every day, and she's doing a good job because for 3 years in a row, Rio Terra has been selected as the best retirement facility in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And I love to go outside the banking marketplace on occasion to get an outside perspective, and I know you like that generational stuff as well.
Absolutely, yes.
That's right. Her name is Sharon Wild. She is the executive director of Rio Terra, and we're going to join her right after this.
Awesome.
You're literally listening to The Power of Performance.
Hey, I do have that effect on people. Her name is Sharon Wild, and when your last name is Wild, that's a lot to live up to, eh, Sharon? How are you?
Hi, Jason. How are you doing?
It is so good to finally have you on the show. Our idiot studio audience went right out this morning and had Arby's for breakfast, so their credit cards have probably all been compromised as well. But since you're a lot smarter than they are, tell us, how did you come about? It's an interesting story. Tell us about your career and how you came to be the executive director over at RioTerra.
Well, it is an interesting story because I would have never chosen senior living as a profession if I'd done it on my own. I was working for the local hospital in New Braunfels as their director of education and community outreach programs. My background is actually education. I used to be a school principal. So I was working for the hospital, and the CEO of the hospital came to me one Friday afternoon in my office at 5 o'clock and said, on Monday, your job is changing, and you're going to be opening up our new senior retirement community that we're building, and it's opening in 3 months. And I kind of looked at him and said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You'll be great. We'll see you Monday, basically." And so that's how I got into senior retirement. That Monday morning, I came in and started my new work, and found that every time I met with one of the residents that was getting ready to move into this retirement community, that I just absolutely fell in love with them and enjoyed their stories and enjoyed talking to them and assisting them and helping them in this new journey that they were fixing to go on to moving from their home into a retirement community. And later on afterwards, I had asked the CEO why he, did that and why he made that choice. And he said that he had watched me interact with senior citizens in my role as director of education. And he said, "I knew you'd be successful because you have a natural love for it." And I did, and that's how I ended up in the business.
Awesome.
That's amazing. You must be a person of great patience between your work in education and being a principal, and now dealing with all these multiple generations, as Jason mentioned earlier. Five generations. Sometimes family reunions are tough, let alone dealing with five generations of that. So I guess between the residents and their families and employees there that you have to manage as well. Again, interacting, imagine, with across five different generational segments, which is just very complex. How do you manage to do it all?
Well, you say that I'm patient. My family would probably disagree with that. I've been told that before, though, at the work environment, that I am patient, and I don't know that it's patience as much as just understanding all the generations. So I try to educate myself as much as I can on every type of person and every type of generation. And even though I'm truly a baby boomer, I try to understand the other generations to respect that and be a good listener, and that way we can all work together. We may have different ways of going about working together, but if you understand it and you're empathetic, then you can usually work through whatever the obstacles are, in my opinion.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I heard, when I was speaking professionally, I used to talk about, Dr. David was talking about family reunions, and in every family, there's somebody who ruins the family reunion in every special occasion. And I would tell the audience, if you're not sure who that person is in your family, it's you.
That's right.
Hey, we're visiting with Sharon Wild. She is the executive director of RioTerra. And folks, this is a beautiful luxury retirement facility. I mean, the living room there is nicer than mine. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I love this place. It's a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous place. Sharon, it is, in fact, in many cases and many times, it's the last home for a lot of people. And you seem to take a tremendous amount of pride in that, if this is going to be the last residence for you, it's going to be good. It's going to be, you pursue perfection. I've heard you say that. You pursue perfection every day. And while there is a certain demographic and group of people out there who think that's asking too much, I don't think it is. From a musical perspective, we try to put on a perfect show here every week. But you take that very seriously. Tell us about that.
You're right, Jason. I do. I take that very seriously, and I strive for excellence and perfection every day. We don't reach it every day, but if we're striving for that every day, we'll get closer to it. And I feel like our residents that live here deserve that. And one reason I feel like they deserve that is they've worked very hard to be able to live here. It's not a cheap place to live. Mm-hmm. And many of our residents are veterans, and they've worked and fought for us. And I feel like this is their last place, like you said, to probably live. And it's their time for us to give back to them. And, you know, I think about my own mother who had Alzheimer's and was in a community very similar to Rio Terra, and what I wanted for her. In her environment with her, you know, brain not functioning at a normal level, and but still the dignity and the activities and the cleanliness and everything, the food, everything that goes into quality of life for her and for every resident here is very, very important to me. So I'm pretty competitive, and so my competitive nature probably serves me well in this business too, that I want to be the best, and I want to be the best every single day, and I want to be number one every day. So that drives me a lot. So.
That is awesome. And she does wear roller skates. But no, she doesn't wear roller skates.
Well, yeah, talk about roller skating. I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, it's obviously a tremendous amount of responsibility, the stress, the excitement, enthusiasm of working to be number one or maintaining being number one as you've been over the years. You know, when you're not at work and you're trying to just kind of, you know, decompress, de-stress, declutter the world, your mind, you know, what are the kind of things that you like to do?
Well, and I've struggled with that, especially when I came to Rio Terra and had to do some cleaning up of staff issues and things like that. But when I tend to take it home with me a lot, and I've had to really, really focus on balancing my life, and I've gotten better at that. It's a daily struggle for me because I get very involved in work and my residence and everything, but I've been working on that. And my personal time, I enjoy being with my family, and I've just started a new venture in my life where we have purchased a home in Colorado. It's going to be a vacation rental home, but we're going to spend more time getting away and doing family things and being outdoors and just enjoying that time together now that my kids are all grown. And so I would just say basically family time. I'm a big exerciser, and I find that if I exercise on a daily basis, I do better at work. So
absolutely.
That's another outlet for me too.
And I should tell you, I just started a new venture. It's called Freeloaders House Sitting in Colorado Incorporated.
So if you need someone to
go up there and keep an eye on the place for free, I will make sure I get you a business card right away. I will take care of the mileage and the food. But this past Christmas, when the air conditioner was on Christmas morning while we were going through all the, you know, gifts and things like that, I was like, we have got to find a way to go someplace where it's cold every year at Christmas. And so that's
exactly
awesome. Listen, you know, you said something, two quick things I want to follow up on. You talked about the staff things, and that is certainly something that is germane to any business. And when I was doing the weekly show for a credit union up in Tampa, I would always end the show this way. I would say, let's continue to be the people we were in the interview. I want to ask you, just from a management perspective, do you think we put too much emphasis on trying to manage the problems at work when sometimes the best thing is just to let those problems go to our competitors?
Well, I think that problems can be resolved, and so are you speaking of staff moving to competitors?
Yeah, because I mean, when I was training and speaking professionally, I would have people come up to me and, you know, it's, oh, I'm going to a session on dealing with difficult employees, and I'm like, I can tell you how to deal with them, you know, just
right.
Get rid of them.
Right.
Right. Well, I will say, I've been in management a really long time. I won't tell you how old I am, but I will tell you that I do think sometimes people spend too much time trying to fix problem people.
Okay.
And I think that, you spend a lot of time and energy, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So with my experience, I've kind of learned, maybe this, we can work through this and fix it and it'll be a good thing. And then other times I'm like, you know what, we need to just fix this and move on. And so I go by my intuition a lot. And so, you know, that just, I guess, comes from experience and everything. But I think some problems are, you're able to work through them, and I do think when you've got problems, staff members, if you set the expectation, you outline it in detail in writing, you both agree to it, you hold that person accountable, more times than not, they will rise to the occasion and perform. So I try to do that and give, you know, even if someone messes up, let's go through this one more time and give them a second chance. But I don't do fourth and fifth chances.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Well, you heard it, folks. Dedication, patience, empathy, all traits of a great manager and a great leader. And like I said, 3 years running, selected the best retirement facility in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. Her name is Sharon Wild, and we want to thank you so, so much for joining us on the show today. Thank you very, very kindly.
Thank you, Jason. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Sharon Wild, everyone. Great job. Yep. And Dr. David and I will wrap it up right after that. All right. First thoughts, Dr. David.
Impressive, no doubt about that. You know, anytime you can, not only achieve being recognized by your peers, the community as being the best of breed in your area, but to do it year over year, 3 years running, obviously is a huge accomplishment. So yeah, definitely kudos to her. And you know, we've all dealt with it personally, or maybe it was in the credit union, or at your in a different position, or maybe in life in general, working with your parents, grandparents, or kids, grandkids, and for her to be able to work that effectively with, you know, five generations and bringing them all on board and speaking the language of each generation to communicate effectively is a daunting task, and obviously she's done a fantastic job doing that.
Yeah, and I honestly think, like I said, if you saw her, you wouldn't, she just a very, very just bundle of energy. Being a baby boomer, I think helps with that, by the way. I think that's the perfect generation for her, what she's doing right now professionally. I think she probably takes from her experience as a principal and a daughter and a mother and everything else, because it really is quite a daunting thing to imagine all those residents. And it's an independent living, it's an assisted living, it's a memory care facility, and it is beautiful. I mean, it is literally like walking into a luxury country club. And so the standard is set so very high that you can imagine being the person whose name is at the top of the organizational chart. To keep performing is, like I said, that's why I think it's relevant to even the banking business, because when you're the name at the top, you know, the way you do things, I mean, you're probably dealing with at least three different generations in your world, baby boomers, Gen X and Gen Y, and you're probably seeing some millennials coming into the workplace. But I did want to ask you about the roundtable this morning. Let's say a year ago, you're minding your own business, you're deciding that you really don't care about your gastrointestinal health, so you stop by your local Arby's and you get that little bun thing they put with the meat and they put the red sauce on it or whatever, you're too cheap to get the Reuben, or you just get your basic Arby's, then you swipe your debit card and bam, some Macedonian teenager is presently buying, you know, a fifth of vodka with your debit card number somewhere in the country of Macedonia. Another huge retail hack. Did that come up in the discussion today?
It did. You know, some of the things that we, you know, a lot of people might be aware of or not aware of, but, you know, Dan Berger and NAFQ are doing a fantastic job working on this. You know, there's a bill that's been out there for almost 2 years now, or going on 2 years, and it's called the Data Security Act. It's, I believe it's right. H.R. 2205, and or Senate Bill 961. It's currently in the Financial Services Committee, and whenever this thing is passed, it should get passed, it's going to do a variety of things from, you know, requiring compliance of all businesses to a national standard that house data, and require encryption, not just encryption for data in motion, but data at rest. You know, simple things like truncation of Social Security numbers that are being stored, and, you know, identifying the regulatory bodies that are going to enforce this new law as well. And, you know, from a credit union bank perspective, you know, if you look at just, let's just take credit unions, for instance, this is a point I made earlier. In 2015, according to NAFQ, credit unions spent about $800 million in preparing and defending themselves against breaches. However, because of the merchants storing data on their systems, Target, Arby's, TJ Maxx, right, enter next retail merchant to be breached here, and the credit unions lost $1.4 billion. That's a B, billion. The forecast for recovery is less than 0.5% of that money, and it's nothing they can do about it. So there's nothing that credit unions or banks can do anything about it. It's the fact that we don't have a national standard in place, and we need to make sure we get something out there that we all say, look, you know, here's a quality standard that we're going to agree to, and if you don't meet that, so like chip and pin on the debit card that will help manage card present risk, not card not present risk, but card present risk. You know, the person that does the least amount to protect themselves is the one that's going to be liable for that loss. So like a merchant that's not prepared with a terminal versus a credit union bank that hasn't issued an EMV card yet, that's going to shift responsibility. But again, you know, having this national act, I think, will really require these merchants. Now, everybody wants the data for, you know, sales and marketing and But again, you know, I would argue, you know, why do they need a debit card number? Why do they need a bank account number?
And they just need the behavior.
Yeah, and you know, and other things that we talked about, and I'll tell you a little bit about the airport and some others in a second. But you know, with same day ACH here, essentially, you know, that's going to present a whole different level of risk. And so I was reading in the American Banker magazine this week that darknet sites are now pricing bank account numbers at a premium. So historically, bank account numbers have always traded at a discount to credit card numbers and debit card numbers. But because they know the power of what's going to happen with same-day ACH and the inability for banks and credit unions to really be proactive in defending themselves, at least in the short term, you know, they know that now having a bank account number is going to be a premium, and they can really get a lot of money from that. So now we're seeing that trade in the darknet sites with these criminals and the bad actors saying, hey, look, we'll pay up for that now. So it's an indication about how the criminals are preparing to attack us in the future. And hopefully, you know, we have leaders across the country in credit unions and banks that are preparing for this today, so it doesn't affect our members, customers, and clients.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it is, like I've said many times, the only industry bigger than fraud prevention is the fraud itself out there trying to get to your members' data, stuff like that. Hey, folks, his name is Dr. David Tuyo. Thank you again so much for sitting in for Dr. Troy, and we're looking forward to a great show again next week. I want to thank Sharon Wild for joining us today on the air, and you have yourself a great, great weekend out there. Oh, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about the Super Bowl, but I will just say this very, very quickly. I will say now that not only has Lady Gaga delivered the best national anthem I've ever seen, without a doubt in my mind, in my personal opinion, the best halftime show I've ever watched. There's just something about Lady Gaga. She's just so good.
I can't disagree with that. She was fantastic. I thought the you know, sometimes you wonder if they're actually singing or not. She was
I couldn't tell. I think she was singing. Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you look at like a couple times, she kind of staggered with her breathing. But just an amazing voice. Just a really amazing voice.
Crazy good. Crazy good. Hey, again, folks, his name is Dr. David Tuya, joining us from Florida. My name is Jason Dias, joining you from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas. And until next we speak, we will talk to you all next week. Until next we speak, looking for the button again. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye.
The MFO, folks.